Beginning from that time, Nandasya of Maharaj Nanda, Brajaha, Brajabhumi, the land for protecting and breeding cows. Sarva Samriddhiman became opulent with all kinds of riches. Hadehe Nivasa of the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atmagunahai by the transcendental qualities. Rama Akridam, the place of pastimes for the goddess of fortune. Abhut became. Ripa, O King Maharaj Parikshit. So, translation: O Maharaj Parikshit, the home of Nanda Maharaj is eternally the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his transcendental qualities, and is therefore always naturally endowed with the opulence of all wealth. Yet beginning from Lord Krishna's appearance there, it became the place for the pastimes of the goddess of fortune. So you can repeat, O Maharaja Pariksit,
O Maharaja Pariksit,
the home of Nanda Maharaja,
the home of Nanda Maharaja,
is eternally the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his transcendental qualities, and is therefore always naturally endowed with the opulence of all wealth. Yet beginning from Lord Krishna's appearance there, it became the place for the pastimes of the goddess of fortune. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As stated in the Brahma Sangita, 5th chapter, text 29, Lakshmi Sahasrashta Sambharma Sivivaram Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. The abode of Krishna is always served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Wherever Krishna goes, the goddesses of fortune naturally reside with him. The chief of the goddesses of fortune is Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Krishna's appearance in the land of Braj indicated that the chief goddess of fortune, Radharani, would also appear there very soon. Nanda Maharaja's abode was already opulent, and since Krishna had appeared, it would be opulent in all respects. So, Tathāra-pyānandasya vrajasāra samriddhimān harir nivāsātma gunāi namakrīdam abhūn ripā. So, Om Gana Timilandasya Gunanjana Shlakaya Chakshur Minitam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So, as Prabhupada has many times explained, whenever a great personality goes somewhere, then his entourage goes with him. And of course, we see this even in the material world. Even if someone is not a great personality, I mean by the spiritual estimation, but someone has a prominent position, it's like even when the leader of North Korea went somewhere to meet with the exalted leader of the United States, he went in a train and all of his associates went with him. And of course, that is the standard. So when Krishna comes, he comes with his associates, Sango Pangasya Parshadam, and his weapons, and his expansions, and his energies, everything's there with Krishna. Aham Sarva Shubhavod Matak Sarvam Pravartate. So There are many different energies of Krishna. And those energies are actually described in Vishnu Purana. Vishnu Shakti Pura Prakta Chetra Jakya Tata Pura Vidyakarma Samgadhyā Tritiyara Shakti Ishate. That's basically three different categories in this particular context. The three categories are the para prakriti, which is being described here in this verse, the internal potency of the Lord, of whom Srimati Radharani is the Adi Shakti. Adi Shakti means the original Shakti. And actually, all the Shaktis ultimately expand from her, even when we're talking about other Shaktis, not the Jiva Shakti, of course. Jiva Shakti expands as derived from Baladeva. So, anyway, so Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Kshetra Dyakya Tatha Para. Then the Jiva Shakti is described as basically Kshetragya, which means the knower of the body. So this can be taken in different ways. In the 13th chapter of the Gita, Nature of the Enjoyer and Consciousness, this whole word is Kshetragya, is actually dealt with. Kshetra means the field of activities. Just like you have Kurukshetra, Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra, Samaveta, Yutsavaha. So you have the place of King Kuru, which is a very auspicious pilgrimage place. And so Kshetra means the place. I mean, this, it can mean any just place in general. But Kshetragya means one who knows the place. And the place for us is this body. So we're considered to be the knowers of the body, and of course Krishna is the knower of all bodies, so he's also Kshetragya. But in this particular context of this verse describing the Lord's energies, Kshetragya Katapara, it's described that the living entity, the Jiva soul, is also transcendental. Tatapara. But unfortunately, avidya karma samgenya tritiya shakti ishute, he is under the influence right now of the third energy of the Lord, which is called avidya karma. Avidya means ignorant activities. And it's, I was actually listening this morning to a class of Prabhupada, and he was talking about, actually, it was in a class of Prabhupada, it was a class by Rehan, or sorry. And he was talking about how atheists are actually so stupid. It's interesting that even philosophically they're off, because many, of course, postmodern philosophy was talking about that they declare there's no absolutes, and even philosophically we can understand that if someone says there's no absolutes, he's contradicting himself. Generally, people who are not so intelligent contradict themselves many times. Or an atheist will contradict himself by saying, there's no God. So the only way you could really make that statement philosophically, or should make that statement, I mean, you can say any damn thing you want, is if you are God, or at least you're omniscient. You may not be God, but at least you're omniscient. Because the only way to say for sure that there's no God is to know everything. And if you know everything, I guess you must be God. And maybe not, because you're not all-powerful. Anyway, at least you have one of the qualities of God, and you don't. So anyway, so it's self-contradictory. So these people are made to act like asses, mogasya moga kam amana, that they engage in activities and also consciousness that is in ignorance, because the super soul is actually pulling the wool over their eyes. As Krishna says in the 15th chapter of the Gita, sarvasya chaham riya sanagishto matak smritya gyanam apolinam cha. That he's giving intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So someone who actually is Namam Duskutino Muda Prapajante Maya Aprita Jnana, what it was, knowledge is stolen by illusion, then Super Soul is acting in conjunction with the material energy, the Vidya Karma Sanginya Tritiya Shakti, you should take, with the material energy to bewilder that particular person. So anyway, so these are the three energies of Krishna. And apart from the Jiva Soul, the two energies, both the Avidya Karma energy and the Paraprakriti, they're actually pure devotees of Krishna. Durga is sometimes called Vaishnavi because she's simply dedicated to serving Krishna. And, of course, Lord Shiva, the greatest devotee. And then we have Paraprakriti, of course, Srimati Radharani, they're simply dedicated. She's simply, and her expansion is simply dedicated to pleasing Krishna. So we find ourselves in the situation of being the Kshetragya associated with Vidya Karma. So what do we do? What is the solution? The solution is to associate with the internal energy of the Lord. And so how do we associate with the internal energy? And let's refer back to the previous verse here where we have Rohini, the mother of Baladev, who is very attached to her husband. So normally, if someone is very attached to their husband or their children, I can hear everything. If normally, if someone is very attached to their husband or the children, it's Maya. Actually, also I was reading in the 12th chapter of the Gita this morning, actually I read a lot this morning, heard a lot this morning, that one of the, it's in the 13th chapter of the Gita, one of the qualities of knowledge is detachment from home, wife, children, and the rest. It's an interesting verse, actually I read that verse in the Gita because I thought it was a good sannyas verse. It enthuses me in my devotional service. Anyway, here it is. It's about the qualities that Krishna declares to be knowledge. And besides this, he says, whatever there is ignorance. That, of course, is 13:12. Humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the object of sense gratification, absence from false ego. It's a big list. You can check yourself off. Check off each one quality that you have or you don't have. That's interesting. You should actually make a whole list and see which qualities do I actually exhibit and which qualities do I not exhibit. Interesting. I was thinking like that this morning. Humility, pridelessness, approaching the Bodhi, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego. Anybody have that quality? Perception of evil of birth, death, old age, and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest. That's 12, 13, 12. See, chapter Nature and Joy and the Consciousness, which I read. I actually read two chapters this morning. The Gita, it helps to have jet lag. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I was up at 1 o'clock this morning, so. Lucky me. So instead of being in Maya, you know, I just, and surfing the internet, I did a lot of other things. Took care of my deities, made offerings to the deities, listened to Krishna Kirtan. It's good to wake up early. Okay, so freedom from entangled with children, wife, home, and the rest, even mind has been pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unwanted devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, joy. Detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. That's a pretty absolute statement by Krishna. So anyway, so getting back to the previous verse here, we have Rohini, who is attached to her husband. Her husband, of course, is Vasudev, in case you hadn't figured that out. And she's not dressing so nicely. Now she is in this particular verse because it's Krishna's appearance and they're celebrating. But generally she's not dressing so nicely and she's not so happy being separated from her husband. Let me go back to that verse. Here it is. Let's see. Because her husband was imprisoned by Kamsa, she was not very happy. But on the occasion, I know some people, if their husband was in prison, they'd be happy. So she was not very happy. But on the occasion of Krishna Janmashtami, so she became happy because of Krishna's appearance. So my question is this actually, because I'm talking about how to become free from Maya. So here is this great devotee of the Lord, actually eternal associate of the Lord, and she's attached to her husband. What's wrong? I mean, she's disobeying Krishna's instructions in 13.12 here in the Gita. Well, the point is the way to become free from this material entanglement is attachment. This is also described by Lord Kapiladev in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is the attachment to people who are pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The very same attachment that entangles one within this material world, when it's transferred to the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that attachment liberates one from this world. So what do I mean by attachment? You know, because many times we're attached to people, and we may even be attached to a pure devotee, but that attachment may not liberate us because we're attached to being served or attached to being prominent or attached in a way that's not spiritual. So let's talk about Radharani here, because this verse is about Radharani. So Radharani is attached to Krishna. But what does that consist of? What does that attachment consist of? That attachment consists, not ordinary attachment, like a, for example, like a wife. Let's go back to the wife's attached to the husband because he is the breadwinner in the material world. Or he has a mustache, I don't know. Or whatever, you know, he's handsome. Or he turns her on and the husband's attached to the wife because, you know, she has an attractive figure or something. Interesting. So Radharani's attachment to Krishna and Krishna's attachment to Radharani is not based upon any selfish concept. It's based simply on the desire to please the person. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing else. It's not based upon of course she likes to hear Krishna's flute, but it's not based upon simply being attracted to Krishna's flute. It's based upon her desire to see Krishna happy. As mentioned in the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Radharani speaks, of course, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking in the mood of Radharani, that if my unhappiness gives Krishna happiness, then that's my actual happiness. In other words, if Krishna takes pleasure in seeing me suffer, then let me suffer. Pretty heavy. That's the devotion. Or, of course, the example given in the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is like a wife, you know, if Krishna wants to associate with some other girl, let me serve that other girl. I'm not suggesting that, but people take this out of context. This is not recommended for you. Of course, there's no wives here. It's just married widows. So anyways. Oh my God. So it's not, I'm not suggesting this for people. Like, oh, my husband wants to have a girlfriend, let me go serve that girlfriend. Or like that Markandeya Purana, or Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya, that story of the man with leprosy, his wife was serving the prostitute, and then the wife was so chaste, she was able to stop the rising of the sun the next day. That's unique. Please, don't imitate this. And normally, if your husband wants to associate with another woman, pop him over the head. So anyway, so getting back to the point. So this mood of Srimati Radharani is there. That's what it means as far as Radharani's ontological position. You know, she is devotion for Krishna personified. Sometimes people say God is love, but we say Radharani is love. Loving, actually. She's a person. She's not just the impersonal loving energy. Like the hippies, they take, or they used to take, whatever they took. I'm not saying what they took. They used to understand that love is just like some mushy-gushy feeling, right? That when you're smoking marijuana and you're just like rolling in the mud in Woodstock with the pigs. Right?
I wasn't rolling.
You weren't rolling, I know. But you saw it happen, right? You saw it happen. They were thinking, that's love. But, you know, Radharani shows us what real love is. And by that loving attitude and relationship, which Rohini has in relationship to Vasudeva, not only in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in relationship to Krishna's devotees, and actually all living entities. That's another thing I read this morning in the Gita. So interesting. The Gita has so many interesting things. You know, every time I read it, I get inspired. In the 12th chapter of the Gita, where Krishna is describing all these different people who are very dear to him. He says, let me go back here a little bit. He, one who is not envious, but a kind friend to all living entities. I'm not going to read the rest of that. Kind friend to all living entities. So that a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is loving Krishna, he loves everybody. So many nice things in the Gita, actually, when you read the Gita. Sometimes people may think that they're more advanced than the Bhagavad Gita, more advanced in knowledge, and they don't have to read the Bhagavad Gita anymore. Anyway, so that's Radharani's position, and that's also the position of all the goddesses of fortune who take care of Krishna, who serve Krishna. Sri Devi, U Devi, all these different goddesses of fortune. And actually, Prabhupada made that comment that Krishna has so many goddesses of fortune in the spiritual world to cook for him. So what does Krishna need as far as your cooking is concerned? Your cooking or your dressing or whatever service you're rendering to the deities. But the point is that we need that. We need to do that. And Krishna also needs to have us back with him. That is one of Krishna's needs. So, anyway, so this is the point here. Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So, any questions or comments? We have, actually, 10 more minutes. Yeah.
Can you explain the position of the Buddha Yamas or the Buddha?
Bhudevi is Bhumi. And of course there's that whole story, I don't know if you want to get into it, about how Vishnu lost Lakshmi because he was kicked in the chest by Brigamuni, and Lakshmi got really angry with him, and Lakshmi ran away. And then Krishna was looking for Vishnu, keep thinking of Krishna. It's like Vishnu losing his extra two hands. Anyway, so so Vishnu was looking for Lakshmi and he found Bhudevi instead. And what happened is that he got married to her after borrowing some money, to make a long story short, from Kuvera and getting some land from Varahadev. And then as soon as he got married, when he's getting ready to go on his honeymoon, he ran into the actual Lakshmi. And when he ran into the actual Lakshmi, the two ladies started to argue with each other, as is normal, over who was the actual wife of Vishnu. And Vishnu, in order to get out, because no, men don't like to see women arguing or crying or anything like that. It really drives them crazy. Even Vishnu's like that. So Vishnu, in order to get out of that situation, turned himself into a deity, and the two ladies turned themselves into deities. So that's Bhudevi. And Bhudevi is also the same personality as Mayasita in the Ramayana. Because Mayasita, the whole time that she was captured by Ravan, was chanting Ram's name. So she became very attached to Ram and wanted to marry Ram, and Ram said, no, Ekapatni Vrata, next life you'll get a chance to marry me. So that's the story. That's Bhudevi. Sri Devi, Bhudevi. Any other questions? Yes.
So where does the desire to love Krishna like that reside, and how do you attain it?
Well, when I already explained, the way to attain it is actually to be devoted to Krishna's servant. You know, as I said in the Adi Purana, which is a verse that I've recited many times before and Prabhupada recites, one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee. One who says he is a devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. It's interesting, I had a discussion with a disciple over the internet, you know, letters like that. And he was questioning, you know, what is Prabhupada's position? This is interesting. He was saying that Prabhupada would often say, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur would say, you know, that I have no devotion for Krishna, I am the most fallen, I am, you know, like this. And he said, doesn't that mean that Prabhupada is an ordinary man? I mean, because he was using the logic that a pure devotee never lies. So if a pure devotee never lies, then maybe he's telling the truth. And I explained that this is the pure devotee's consciousness. He's not lying because he's actually thinking like that. And one should never consider the pure devotee, or even use the word ordinary. You know, later on he said, well, is he an ordinary jiva soul? I said, he's a jiva soul, yes, Vaishaktivesha avatar, but please do never use the word ordinary in relationship to Prabhupada. Prabhupada is extraordinary. Never use the word ordinary. So Prabhupada is thinking like that. So then the question was raised, does that mean he's Jivatattva? And I said, he is Jivatattva, but not necessarily, because even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm not a devotee. Lord Chaitanya said, if I was a devotee, how could I live? Because if you're separated from someone you love so much, and love reaches a particular intensity, one cannot live. It becomes impossible. Just like you see many times, there's a husband and wife who are married. Of course, husband and wife means interesting. So there's a man and woman, won't use the word husband and wife, man and woman who are married many years, you know, like 50 years or something like that. And one of them passes away, and then within two or three days later, the other one dies. Because their whole life is based upon serving and being with the other person. So that's what it means to be a devotee. Now, of course, I'm not saying that when the spiritual master dies, you should die too. And Prabhupada also commented on that in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam. He said, when the acharya, the spiritual master, dies, one should be dedicated to serving the mission of the spiritual master. And that mission, which is called the Vani. In other words, it is the spiritual master. Like ISKCON is a manifestation of Srila Prabhupada. So if I, as a disciple of Prabhupada, follower of Prabhupada, which hopefully everybody is, if I neglected to serve ISKCON, I would be neglecting to serve Prabhupada. It's a very simple, it's a mathematical formula. You know, things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. Actually, it's an axiom, not a mathematical formula. That's just a self-evident truth. Things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. Equal in all respects, of course. So, if I was to say I just want to be Krishna conscious outside, then I'd be living an hallucination, as Prabhupada said. I mean, it's such a simple mathematical thing, you know, because that's Prabhupada. And I mean, I'm not saying that ISKCON in all respects is Prabhupada, but it's a manifestation of Prabhupada's Vani. You understand? So it's Prabhupada's Vani. So by being attached to serving and being with ISKCON, in ISKCON, then I continue my service to Prabhupada. I mean, it's a simple thing. So the attachment should be there. So that's really what it means to be a devotee. Devoted. I mean, just like, you know, people sometimes, well, Samhari got started on this. Sometimes people leave ISKCON. It's like a devoted wife leaving her husband because he has some zits. I don't know if you know what zits are. Or a bad breath, or because he snores at night. Actually, yes. We're going on someone who's snoring every night. Anyway. tape your mouth shut. Anyway. That's actually the solution. You tape the mouth shut. Seriously. I'll tell you about it later. It's not a point for Bhagavatam question. You don't leave someone. You remain devoted to someone. I mean, of course, obviously someone's abusing you. That's a different thing. I mean, that's... But a normal scenario, one has to be just devoted. And so, just like a ISKCON, there's some problems. I mean, just like recently I was at a GBC meeting and the level of bureaucracy has increased exponentially, which is really not my taste. And it's just like, oh my God. Oh my God. Luckily I'm grandfathered in. Anyway, you know, grandfathered in. You know, if you want to become a sannyasi now, you have to just like go through basic training in the Marines for longer than 4 months. 5 years. Basic training. Anyway, so, but you know, even though I may not agree or things may be like in a level that's not what I think it should be, for one reason or other, I just remain serving. And that's my dedication to Prabhupada. Or if someone, if there's some opposition or difficulty, then that's my dedication. That's a test. It's a test of one's love. Love is sometimes tested, isn't it? That's true. So, on that happy note, any other questions yet? We have about 1 minute left for class. I mean, love is tested. Yeah.
In honor of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance day coming, Mr. Rudrani and myself, we started reading Chaitanya Charitamrita 3 nights a week. We actually broadcasting as we read.
That's nice.
So, and we were just finding like how, just reading Prabhupada's purports, how my own experiences, how it was just like, just changes my consciousness with so much enthusiasm and something. Just like 1 hour, you know, 1 hour of reading reading of Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya,
it's
made such a difference.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, Prabhupada's books are amazing. I mean, it's like, even I was in the GBC meeting for 2 or 3 days, I started reading online. But then the meeting started to go to till 7 o'clock at night.
I know, I missed you.
I was reading a really nectarian. Well, of course, nectar devotion is always nectarian. I was reading it every night, and I was really enjoying. And then all of a sudden, the meeting started at 9:45 in the morning and didn't let me out till... I mean, we had a midday break. Till 7 o'clock at night, and that was... Well, I basically survived. That's basically it. Anyway, it's my dedication to Prabhupada. Stick to it and die on the battlefield. Even though, according to the Gita, I do have attachment to living in a solitary place. That's actually a sign of knowledge. But still, because I relinquished that attachment for Prabhupada. That's love. You understand? That's actually love.